in your notes. So you'll need to put your finger in there or a marker in there or somewhere so you can go back and forth. Because of the references I'm going to be using today are in both Matthew and in Luke. I'm entitled today, Christmas is a Time to Celebrate. I think Christmas is wonderful. I like to celebrate the good news of Jesus and all that goes with that. And I hope that you enjoy the celebration of God's presence and God's love and all the delights that go with this season of the year. So I think about some places and some relationships that I see in these two Gospels, Matthew and Luke, about Joseph and Mary and some of the things that they heard and how they responded. And hopefully that'll help us make preparation for celebrating Christmas ourselves. So if you'll begin, I want to begin in Matthew chapter 1. If you got your outline out, you'll see the references. I'll be going back and forth on those. So at the top of your outline, I want to celebrate hearing God. Celebrate hearing God. So that'll be the first thing that's on your notes, the first line. Because I want to think about how they heard the Lord in these two references. So let me look at Joseph. If you want to mark the next line, Joseph heard God. In Matthew chapter 1, starting verse 18, it says this, "Now the birth of Jesus Christ was as follows. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph before they came together, she was found to be with child by the Holy Spirit. And Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not wanting to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly. But when he had considered this, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, excuse me, Joseph, son of David, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child who has been conceived in her is of the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins." So Joseph, as he thought about all the things going on with Mary and heard about the fact that she was going to have a baby and knew it wasn't his baby, he was thinking about all of that. In fact, if you read this passage, he said he was going to break off the relationship rather quietly. But in the midst of that, the Bible says, an angel of the Lord appeared to him and began to speak to him. And he understood that this was God. That God was speaking to him through an angel. Now, I haven't heard God speak to me through an angel, but God still speaks through his spirit. But Joseph heard God. In fact, if Joseph hadn't heard God, what would he have done? He would have broken off the relationship. Joseph would have carried through his plan if he hadn't heard from God. But when he heard from God, he listened. And he heard God speak to him through the angel, telling him to not be afraid and what to do. And we'll talk more about that in a minute. In Luke's gospel, we'll find Mary heard God. In Luke chapter 1, starting in verse 26, it says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent from God to a city in Galilee named Nazareth to a virgin engaged to a man whose name was Joseph of the descendants of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And coming in, he said to her, 'Greetings, favored one, the Lord is with you.' But she was very perplexed at this statement and kept pondering what this salutation was. As she thought about that, Mary had God speak to her. How did God speak to Mary? To an angel. So the Bible says this angel's name was Gabriel. And he came to speak to Mary, and Mary heard God speak. She knew God was talking to her. I'm convinced that Mary was a person who could hear God, and we'll talk more about that as I go. But right now, she heard from God this angel. God spoke to her. She understood it was God and responded accordingly. Now, as I think about hearing God, can you hear God today? So the next thing, if you were writing on your notes, is I want to hear God myself. Joseph heard God, Mary heard God, and I'm convinced that we can hear from God as well. That God wants to talk to us, communicate with us if we'll listen. So, let me read a couple of verses there, and then we'll think further about this. It says, "And those are the ones whom seed was sown on the good soil. They hear the word and accept it and bear fruit 30, 60, and 100-fold. Jesus told this parable about the seed being sown on different kinds of soil. But notice he said that the ones who heard it accepted it and bore fruit. They heard God through the Scriptures. The other Scripture that I read says, "So when the Samaritans came to Jesus, they were asking him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. Many more believed because of his word, and they were saying to the woman, 'It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world.'" This gospel, this chapter 4, talks about a Samaritan woman who met Jesus, and he talks to her about knowing him and all the things about that. But she shares a message, and the Bible says that she goes back and tells the people in her town about Jesus. But notice, they come and listen, but what did they say? "We have heard for ourselves and know that this one is indeed the Savior of the world." It's different if you hear somebody else talking about hearing God, but if you hear God and you know it's God, does it make any difference? So you know that God's speaking to you. Now, when it comes to God speaking to us and being able to hear God, what is one of the primary ways God is going to speak to us? What is one of the ways that we know that it's God speaking to us? Now, I see several already going where I know where I'm going. Because this is God's book. This is God's word. And when we read it and we understand it, God's Holy Spirit is talking to us. And so if I want to hear God, I need to be in this book. I know some of you in this group are convinced of that. I don't have to convince you. Ask Jim Gray. In the Word, if I want to hear God, I really want to know what God's saying. I need to be here, opening, reading, studying, thinking about, meditating on this book, because I believe that God wants to speak to us through His Word. Because in reality, I believe, as I understand Scripture, God gave us the Scriptures in the first place. He is the author of it. He used human beings, but He wrote it. He had it written through those individuals. So the author of the book wanted to talk to us so that when we read it, we can hear Him in the process. Now, I think it's good that we can hear God, that we can know that God's talking to us. I believe we need to know that. We need to sense that Almighty God is communicating with me, not only through other people, but myself. As I read the Word and as I pray, as I study it, that God will speak to me through it. God also speaks to us through the person of the Holy Spirit. Holy Spirit reveals the truth of God's Word, but there are also times when you pray, God's Spirit reveals truth to you. And He'll let you know that it's Him. I can't explain that. I can't give you a written formula for it. But I know there are times when you know, as you pray, God is talking. He's giving you information. He's giving you understanding. Now, how do I always know if it's God or not? Because sometimes people say, "I heard this, I heard that." And that's what God said. How do I know if it's God or not, or is it just somebody's imagination? It's back to this. God will always speak in harmony with what He's already revealed and the truth in this book. Everything that He speaks that's from God will be in harmony with everything He's already told us in the Bible. If you hear anything that's not in harmony with the Bible, it's not true. Is that true? Can you hear stuff that's not in harmony with the Bible in the name of Christianity or in the name of religion? So how are you going to know whether it's God talking to you through the Bible or whether it's someone else? You and I need to be in this book enough that we're aware enough and understand enough that when something doesn't fit with what we already know that that doesn't fit. Am I making sense? You're not going to, the only way you're going to know it is if you've been in it yourself, understanding it. God's been speaking to you. So when you hear something different, you know, wait a minute, that don't fit right. Now, sometimes as you hear things, there's a sense in your spirit, you can't put a finger on a chapter or a verse, but somehow in you, there's something that says, that just doesn't sound right. That's God's Holy Spirit saying, you need to check this out. I've commented, and I will again, probably, you need to always check out everything you hear any preacher preach with the Word, including this preacher. Because if I tell you something that's not in harmony with this Word, you didn't hear from God, you heard from a preacher, not from God. So, these two, Mary and Joseph, heard from God, and they knew it was God talking to them. And their response will indicate so. So I celebrate hearing. I'm glad I get to hear from God. That He talks to us. And we know His Spirit, His presence, His joy. The second thing is, celebrate believing what I hear God say. Celebrate believing what I hear God say. Because when I hear it, and I know it's from God, I need to believe it. So I want to look at how Joseph and Mary believed what they heard God say. I read already where the angel said to Joseph, that's all right. The baby Mary's got was conceived by the Holy Spirit. Now, you think about that. We've been reading this. How many years? Some of you have been reading this Bible a long time. And we've been reading about Mary and being conceived, the baby, by the Holy Spirit. But can you put yourself in Joseph's shoes? He didn't have this. This had never been written. He had never heard of such a thing. For him to hear the angel say that baby that Mary's in Mary's body is conceived by the Holy Spirit was a tough thing for him to think about. We have the background. He didn't. And he heard from God. He knew it was from God. And the Bible says he believed what he heard. Folks, that takes a lot of faith when you don't have the Bible to background that we've got to hear it. How do I know Joseph believed it? If you go back to Matthew chapter 1 again, verse 24 and 25, having been told what was going to happen, it says, Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife, but kept her a virgin until she gave birth to a son. And he called his name Jesus. How do I know Joseph believed what he heard about Mary? He does what? He wakes up. He takes Mary as his wife and keeps her a virgin. How do I know he believed it? Because he did what he heard. He followed the truth that he understood from God and did it. To me, it's still amazing that Joseph did what he did. We talk about Mary and how wonderful Mary is, but listen, Joseph is also a wonderful account of a man hearing God and believing God and acting on that belief that is very wonderful. The other one is, back to Luke again, is Mary. Because if you notice, I'm going between those two individuals in these two scriptures. Mary heard from God that she was going to conceive in her womb and bear a son. And it's going to be Jesus. It's going to be God. Now, think about Mary hearing this for the first time. We didn't, no Bible, no Bible. She's God saying to an angel, you're going to have a baby and it's not this daddy. It's not going to be a human being. And it's going to be God. It's going to be in your body. You're going to bear a son, a child of God, who's God. Now, think about it. How easy for Mary to believe what she heard? I think it took a lot of faith for her to believe what God said. When God told her, this will be the Son of God, the Son of the Most High, in verse 32 of Luke 1, and the Lord will give him the throne of his father David, will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and his kingdom will have no end. And Mary wants to know, how in the world can that happen? And he tells her by the work of the Holy Spirit. Down in verse 38, having heard all that, in Luke chapter 1, Mary said, behold, the bond slave of the Lord, may it be done to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. Do you get how much she believed? what she had heard from God, and she knew it was from God, she believed it because she said, okay, God, let it happen. I accept the fact that you want to do this, so make it happen. In my mind, it didn't say that in the scripture specifically, but in my mind, when she said, be it unto me according to your word, at that moment she became pregnant with Jesus. That's my concept. It didn't say that specifically. But when she said, I believe, how do you know she believed? She said, let it happen. And it did happen. And she believed. So she believed what God had said. As you read these scriptures, I hope you go back and put yourself in their shoes and kind of think about what it's like, because they didn't have all this background we've got in the Bible. We've read it hundreds of times. And she had never heard anything like this, neither Joseph. And they believed what God said. Think about the character of faith that these two individuals believed when they heard God without any background or any help from other people. They believed what they heard. My prayer is that we will believe what God says. So, I talked about God speaking to us, hearing God. I want to believe what God says to me. If you're writing in your notes, I'm skipping ones. The shepherds, I talked about believing. Let me go back and straighten myself out. Celebrate believing what I heard God say. One, Joseph married Mary. Two, Mary agreed to be Jesus' mother, if you're writing in on your notes. The third one is shepherds went to find Jesus in Luke chapter 2. The shepherds heard this message as well from the angel, which we're familiar with. And that when the angel came and told them that Jesus was going to be born in the city of David or Bethlehem at that point, and you'll find the baby in a manger wrapped in cloths, they believed what they had heard? How do I know? Down in verse 15 of Luke chapter 2. It says, when the angels had gone away from them into heaven, the shepherds began saying to one another, let us go straight to Bethlehem then and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has made known to us. So they came in a hurry and found their way to Mary and Joseph and the baby as he lay in a manger. How do I know they believed what they heard? They get up right then. They didn't wait till morning. The Bible says they got up. And they said, let's go. Let's go check it out. Let's go see. Now, if you didn't believe what you said, what was said, would you go to a city and start looking for a baby in a manger? They didn't have Google and all that stuff. They had to go hunt. I don't know. It didn't tell us in the Bible whether they found them the first time or not. I don't know whether they went to stables after stables to find it, but they went until they found a baby in a manger in a stable. Because the Bible said, the angel said to them, you're going to find this kind of baby, and that means it's Jesus. How do I know they believed it? They went and looked. They went for themselves and checked it out. And so I'm grateful for that. So the last thing on that section is, believe what God says to me. Believe what God says to me. It says, but as many as received him, to them he gave the right to become children of God, even to those who believe in his name, who were born not of the blood, nor of the will of the flesh, nor the will of man, but of God. So the first thing I need to believe is that Jesus Christ is who he says he is. He died on the cross, rose again, ascended to heaven, and coming back. I need to believe that he is who he says he is. And as a result of that, I know that I believe him when I receive him into my heart and life. I let him live within me. I ask him to save me. I ask him to take over in my life and be my Lord and Savior. You see, I can say I believe all kinds of stuff. But what I believe is what I do. I can tell you whatever. So what I do is really what I believe. So if I'm yielding my life to Christ, if I believe he is Savior and Lord, I receive him, I accept him as my Savior, and I believe in his name, I trust him to live within me. And when he does, the Bible says he becomes my Savior and Lord, and we're born not of flesh nor the will of man, but of God. We're born again. We're transformed because we believe what God said about Jesus, that if we'll receive him as Savior and Lord and believe in him, he will change us. Now, some of you believe that because you know Jesus lives in your life. If you've never done that, my prayer is that today you'll ask Jesus to come live inside you and believe what God said as you receive him. But I also need to understand, God, help me to believe everything I read from your word that you tell me is true. Again, what I really believe about this book is what I'm doing. If I believe in that the Bible says I need to be kind, I'm going to be kind. If I really believe I need to love my neighbors myself, I'll love my neighbors myself. If I understand I'm to live holy and godly, that's what I try to do. Because that's what I believe, therefore I'm doing it. And these individuals, because they heard, believe what they said. And so I'm saying to us, I want to celebrate believing what God says. Now let me ask you, is it really fun to believe what God says? Is it really good to believe and trust God if what he says is true and to try it out and see if it really works or not? When you try out what God says, is it going to work every time? Yeah. Because he's always faithful. Everything he promises, everything he says, he's going to do exactly like he said he was. He don't do it in my way, he didn't do it in my time, but he does it. And I want to celebrate a believing of God enough to trust him, to commit my life to him, and to follow him no matter what. Because I'm believing him. John Bassanio, in a book called Perfect Positive Praying, told about a time when his daughter was 5 years old. He was reading a book in the office, occupied. And he said the daughter came in and said, I want you to build me a dollhouse. He said, okay. He said, I went back to reading and didn't pay more attention. He said, I looked out the window after a while, and my five-year-old was going out in the yard playing dolls and toys and dishes in the backyard. I said to my wife, what's she doing? He said, you told her you were going to build her a dollhouse. He said, you know what I did? I put my book down. I went to the lumber yard. I got some lumber, and I began to build this dollhouse that I'd promised because she believed me enough to start taking her toys outside to get ready for the dollhouse I told her I was going to believe, that I was going to build. May God help us to learn to celebrate believing him enough to act. And God will always do what he promises, right? The good news is we don't have to prime him or whatever. He's going to fulfill it. But just believe him. On the other side of your notes, celebrate living so God can use me. Celebrate living so God can use me. Because there is a limitation in the sense that if I'm not yielded to God and my life isn't being lived godly, he cannot use me like he wants to. Are there examples in Scripture where individuals who refused to use God or believed God, God didn't use them? They got out of character. God couldn't use them anymore. One that crosses my mind is in the Old Testament. You remember King Saul, who was told to go conquer a group and kill everybody, and he didn't. And he comes back, and the prophet Samuel comes out and says, talks to him. He said, I did everything God told me to do. And Samuel says, what's that noise I hear? I hear sheep, and I hear a cat. He said, oh, I did what God told me to do. And Samuel said, no, God told you to wipe everybody out, and you kept part of it. You remember what happened to Saul after that? He no longer felt the Spirit of God in his life. In fact, he can't hear God if he read the whole story enough that he goes and consults a witch because he can't hear from God. Because he didn't believe God. He wasn't living godly enough for God to use him. Can you get that place? I don't want there. I don't want to be there where I'm not hearing God anymore. So I'm suggesting that we need to be living godly so God can use us in a place that he can use us. Because God will only use vessels yielded to him God will only use vessels that are cleaned by His Spirit. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about that. But I'm saying I need to be in a position with God to be used. So let me think about some of those. Again, and back in Matthew chapter 1, I want you to notice what it said about Joseph in verse 19. Joseph, her husband, being a righteous man and not willing to disgrace her, planned to send her away secretly, and then the rest of it, the angel comes. But the description of Joseph is a righteous man, a man who loved God, a man who could hear from God. His character was right with God. Don't you suppose that God chose a special man to be the husband of Mary and to be the earthly father of Jesus? I mean, if I was picking somebody for a kid, my own kid, I'd be kind of special, particular about who I chose. God chose Joseph, and He said, it described him as a righteous man, a man in right relationship to God, a man yielded to God, a man in cooperation with God. He was righteous. So he was in a position for God to use him because he was listening to God. The same is said about Mary in Luke chapter 2, that she was, in verse 30, as the angel came to her, the angel said to her, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God." To me, that means God, there was something about her life that God could use. Again, do you suppose if you were choosing the mother of your kid, you'd be particular about who that mother was? But in this case, Mary had to be a woman of character, a woman who believed God, a woman who found favor with God, because He said, "The Lord is with you, and you found favor with God." I believe you'll find that as I read those two people, Joseph and Mary, they were people who loved God, people whose character, whose life and walk was such that God could use them. So I'm suggesting I want to live in such a way that I can be, hear God, understand God, and be in a place that God can use me. I want to participate with what God's doing, which I'll talk about in a moment. But I want to be living in such a way that my life is that way. So the third thing under that section is live so God can use me. Live so God can use me to be in a position for God to use me. Do you want God to use you? I hope we do. It's awesome. As we thought about this word, can God do everything He wants to do on His own? Does He have to have us to do anything? No. But He chooses to let us in on what He's doing. And I think it's a privilege that Holy God says, "I want you to be a part of what I'm doing and share my message and help people and serve me and all those things. And I want to let you in on it." So it's a privilege to be used of God. It's not a duty. It's a privilege that God says, "I want to use you." So I want to be living so God can use me. The scripture passage I listed on your notes says, "For the grace of God has appeared, bringing salvation to all men, instructing us to deny ungodliness and worldly desire, to live sensibly, righteously, and godly in the present age, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus, who gave Himself for us to redeem us from every lawless deed and to purify for Himself a people for His own possession, zealous for good deeds." There's a whole lot in that passage of Scripture. Live so God can use me. I want to suggest that the only way I can live for God can use me is by His grace. Notice what it said in that big beginning. For the grace of God has appeared to bring salvation. If we're saved, it's because God provided salvation for us in Jesus. And it's by His grace that we keep on living. You recognize that not only do we get saved by grace, we live by grace. Think about it. Grace means God gives us things we don't deserve because He wants us to have it in Christ, not because we don't earn it. Let me ask you, how much do you live every day by grace? Every day that we live is by grace. It's God saying, "I'm going to let you live one more day. I'm going to give you enough health to do it. I'm going to give you enough opportunity to do it. I'm going to let you." It's all by grace. And so we celebrate living by grace. We trust in Him. Now, as we do that, the scripture passage says, "I deny ungodliness and worldly desires." But we don't ever have to deal with worldly desires as Christians, right? The devil kicks up worldly desires all the time. And the advertisements and the TV and the promotions don't help any. And the media things and the appeal of the world try to. The devil uses desires in the wrong way. There's nothing wrong with desires, but if they're for wrong things, and God, he says, but God wants us to help us to deny those, not give in to them, but to live sensibly. Now, that doesn't always seem to be, you know, how does that fit in? Is it sensible to do things God's way? Is it smart to do things God's way? All the time it is. Now, sometimes our thinking is, wait a minute, that don't make sense. But when God tells us something and I live by it, that's smart. That's sensible living. It's wonderful living. So that puts me in a position for God to use me. To live righteously or rightly with God and fellowship with God. To be godly, to live the way we believe Jesus would. I still think WWJW or JD is still a good thing. Now, some of you don't know what I'm talking about. Some of you do. There used to be bracelets and things and shirts and all that had those letters, WWJD, on it. It says, what would Jesus do? That's a good principle to live by. When I'm going to do something, I say, what would Jesus do if he was in my position? What do I think he would have me do? What would he say? How would he act? That's a good principle still to guide our thinking so that we can live and be in a position for God to use us because we're trying to do things the way he wants us to do it. Now, does that mean that I'll always do it perfectly? No. But does he forgive me when I mess up? Can I come back and say, Lord, I'm sorry? Would you forgive me? Help me get back on track and go back to doing what I think he would do. Of course, again, Scripture will help us know that. But I will live God in his present age. But also, he said, looking for the blessed hope and the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Christ Jesus. Are you looking for him? Are you expecting Jesus to come? He said he's going to do it. I want to be ready. I want to be living in such a way that I'll be happy that if he catches me doing what I'm doing, I'll be happy that he caught me doing what I'm doing. Think about it. Sometimes people say, well, if I knew Jesus was coming today, this is what I would do. I would change this. But if I'm doing what I know Jesus wants now, then I'm in a position, that's all right. He can catch me doing what I'm doing because I'm doing what I think he wants me to do today. Does that mean I have to be in a worship service every day? No. Does that mean I can go to a job every day and serve the Lord still? Does that mean I can clean the house every day and still honor him? Does that mean, you know... So it's not a matter of getting off in a hermit situation, just trying to do the things that Jesus would want me to do and I'd want to be doing when he came to redeem us and to purify us for himself, a people for his own possession, zealous for good deeds. I celebrate. Now, is that good life or not? The people who don't know Jesus think it's a dull life. Do you realize that? You can talk to people outside the Christian faith about all these things. They say, oh, it's not no fun. You guys don't know how to live. I remember some years ago now, I used to go to a place like CYA Camp in Pine Grove and have these boys, about 14 to 18 year old. And they would tell me more than once, preacher, you're not having any fun. You don't know how to live. Of course, they were talking about doing stuff I wouldn't want to do anyway. But they didn't understand what I was talking about. But I did. I was having more fun than they were. Besides, I was out and running around. And they were still locked up. But you don't have to be physically locked up to miss out on life if you're not serving Jesus. You can still be doing things that are not pleasing to God. And you're locked in the world system and in sin and lostness and doing things your own way. And you're still missing out. Because when you do things God's way, there is a great joy in that. There's a real value in that. And I'm glad God lets us live that way. So I celebrate living so God can use me. Zealous for good deeds. The last thing on your notes. Celebrate getting to participate with God. Celebrate getting to participate with God. To me, it is awesome that Almighty God chooses to use us, which I already mentioned earlier. And I want to suggest, first of all, that Joseph married Mary and helped care for Jesus. Joseph married Mary and helped care for Jesus. We don't hear much about that. But verse 24 of Matthew 1 says, Joseph awoke from his sleep and did as the angel of the Lord commanded him and took Mary as his wife. Did he have anything to do with raising Jesus? We hear about Mary, but do we hear a thing about Joseph? Did Joseph have anything to do with that? Was he cooperating with God when he was helping Mary? In my mind, it doesn't say in Scripture, this is just my imagination, I guess. When Mary gave birth to Jesus, who was the midwife? Probably Joseph. Didn't say anything about him else being there. I don't know. Was he participating with God in bringing the birth of Jesus Christ into the world? Do you suppose he ever had to help take care of Jesus? It doesn't tell in Scripture. I'm imagining this, but I believe, as I think about it, I'm sure Joseph was a father, earthly father who cared for him, loved him, took care of him, taught him. Some indications, maybe he trained him how to be a carpenter. But when Joseph was doing all that, he was participating with God, bringing Jesus into the world that we might know Christ, we might have a living Savior. And so I'm grateful to know that Joseph did that. Then along with that, Mary, in Luke chapter 2, skipping over, if you've been hitting your finger in chapter 1, in chapter 2, it just reminds us of this, in Luke 2, verse 6 and 7, after they had gone down to Bethlehem, it says, while they were there, the days were completed for her to give birth, and she gave birth to her firstborn son, and she wrapped him in cloths and laid him in a manger, because there was no room for them in the inn. Mary, by becoming the mother of Jesus, was participating with God to bring the Savior of the world into this world. She had a part in the activity of a holy God by allowing herself to be the mother, miraculous mother of Jesus, caring for him, changing his diapers, nursing him. We forget about that. You think Jesus ever had dirty diapers? Mary changed them. And she was participating with Jesus in bringing this child who became our Savior to the world. By the way, those who change the diapers in our nursery today are still participating with Jesus. They're sharing Jesus with somebody. So, Joseph did, Mary did. I want to be involved with participation. So the last thing in your notes, if you're writing them in, is participate with God myself. Participate with God myself. The Scripture says, now he who plants and he who waters are one. Each one will receive his own reward according to his own labor, for we are God's fellow workers. You are God's field. You are God's building. I'm writing to the Corinthian church about some things, some problems actually, but you notice what he said. We are God's fellow workers. We are co-laborers. We work together with God. So as I mentioned, when you serve Jesus in a variety of ways, you're really serving God. It's God at work in you. The other scripture says, so then, my beloved, just as you've always obeyed, not as in my presence only, but now much more in my absence, work out your salvation with fear and trembling. For it is God who is at work in you, both to will and to work for his good pleasure. You're a child of God. God says, I want to use you. And you say, okay, I'm available. Do I know what will happen when I say I'm available, I want to participate with you? Do I always know what's going to happen in the process? Sometimes as human beings, we say, now, God, if you'll tell me what that means, you tell me where I'm going to go and when I'm going to get there and all the other details. If you tell me all that, then I'll agree to go with you. Well, don't we? I mean, usually when we do something, we kind of want to know where you're going and how you're going to get there and all that stuff. Did Joseph and Mary know how all this was going to happen? They knew God was doing it. So what I'm suggesting is, I'm saying, God, I commit my life to you, to be involved with you, so that you can work in me whatever you want to do through me, in whatever way you want to do it, whenever you want to do it, however you want to do it. That's a big step. Do you know that? Because that means I got to trust God. I got to believe He knows what He's doing. I believe He'll help me know step by step what I need today, what I need to do today, and how to do that. I'm grateful that in my life, when I became a believer in Jesus at age 14, I was challenged to make that commitment. Anywhere, any place, anytime, anything you want me to do. And I remember saying to God, I will do that at age 14. I had no idea where that was going to go. It ultimately led me to begin to be a preacher, pastor some churches. It ultimately led God saying to me one day, I want you to leave Kentucky and go to California. It ultimately meant going some places I didn't know I was going to go. But you know, it's fun to do. Know you're cooperating with God because He does it really, really well. And I've seen Him do many blessed things in my life. Because I said to Him a long time ago, anywhere, any place, anytime, anything. You can say that today if you've never done that. Because God, I want to participate. I want to be involved. Whatever you're doing, however I can fit into what your plan is. Does God know who you are and where you ought to be and how to use you best? Better than you and I do. So we need to offer our lives and say, God, I want to walk with you today. I want to participate. I want to be involved in your work, in your ministry. I want to serve you. I want to be involved in your church. I want to be involved in sharing you with other people. I want to be involved in any way I can. I want to participate with God myself. I kind of like to be like Joseph and Mary, God using me to fulfill His plan and His purpose for my life. What an awesome privilege. So my challenge to you is today, if you've never told God that, maybe today would be a good day to say, God, wherever I am in my journey, here I am, what I've got, who I am, I offer it all to you to say, God, any place, anytime, anywhere, anything you want to do with me. Because I can trust you. Do I know where that's going to lead? No. I never dreamed I'd leave Kentucky and come to California when I started that. And we're here today because God said come to California. That's the only reason we're here. And then a lot of things have happened since then. But I want you to know it's fun. I'm glad to watch God work in your life when you offer it to Him and see what He does. It's not always easy. It isn't always fun at the moment. But it's good. And you like the outcome. So if I think about these two people, they were participating with God to bring the Savior into the world. Aren't you glad they did? To bring Jesus, our Messiah, into this world. And we're born again, we're saved, we're going to heaven. All because God used two people who were willing to be used to bring His Son into the world to do what He was going to do, down the cross and all the rest of it, be raised again. I want to be involved with God because there are other people out in this world who need to know Jesus. You and I can be His instruments to help other people come to know Him as Savior and Lord. May God help us at this season of the year to talk about who Jesus is. That's what it's all about. We like lights and I like trees and I like gifts, but it's all about Jesus. I want to be a participant with God and saying, God, help me to tell other people that the key issue is Jesus. And knowing Him, loving Him, following Him, making yourself available. So, I hope as you think about Christmas, the time to celebrate, I give you some things to celebrate. And what I challenge you to do is take these notes and go home, read them later and look at them and say, God, what about this? Is there anything about this I need to do? Because I believe when God gives us some truth, He gives it to us so we can do something about it, not just so we can hear it and say, that was good. Do you suppose He wants us to do anything about what you heard today? See, it doesn't matter what I say, but it doesn't matter what God says in the Scriptures and in as you hear. And my desire is to hear and to celebrate, because when you do what God says God's way, you'll like the outcome. You really will. Let's pray together. If you're here without Jesus, my prayer is that you'll begin the journey by committing your life to Christ, who loved you enough, who put all this together so that you could know Him and you'll give your heart to Him. My prayer is that if we are believers, that we will commit our lives anew and afresh and say, God, here I am. I want to cooperate with you. I see how you work. I want to be a part of that. And maybe already are, but at least continue doing that. Dear Jesus, thank you that you're here today by the Holy Spirit. And Lord, you see me and you see every person in this room. You see inside us. You know what we're thinking. You know the struggles we have. And I thank you for that. Today, Lord, help us to yield our lives to you afresh, so that this Christmas we can really celebrate what it's all about because of who you are and what you do in us and through us. Help us, Lord, as you search our heart, is there anything in us that needs to be changed? Is there any attitude, any actions, any habits, any lifestyle that you want to change that's not pleasing to you? God, change us so we can be usable. We be living in such a way that you can use us. Thank you for speaking to us. Give us the courage to say yes to you and then to respond as you direct us to do that. In Jesus' name. Amen. Let's stand together. We sing. You're giving your heart to Christ? Come and tell me. You're renewing a relationship. You want to share that? Or you want to share further with the church? Decisions about walking with Jesus. Would you come and sing?
Oh, soul, are you weary and troubled? No light in the darkness you see. There's a light for the quick at the Savior, and life more abundant and free. Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things of earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory.
Sing the chorus one more time. Pray that God will help us to do what this chorus says. That this season of the year we'll celebrate because we're looking to Jesus. We're focusing on who He is, what He's done, what He wants to do in our life. May God help us to turn our eyes on Jesus. Sing the chorus one more time.
Turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face, and the things